All right. We don't want this to be a boring panel. We're going to have fun here. We're here to pick up the pieces after you've blown up your newsroom and tried to do video. Perhaps we can introduce ourselves here first. Michael?
I'm Michael Rosenblum. I have been in the small camera VJ business for about 20 years. I've built television stations and networks around the world based on the model. I've produced several hundred hours for various networks based on the model. I built Current TV with Al Gore based on the model. I had a video bar and cafe that was a complete disaster based on the model. And now, among other things, many of our clients are newspapers and magazines moving into online video.
Hi, my name's Andy Dickinson, and I'm completely out of my depth. I have none of that. I'm a senior lecturer at the University of Central Lancashire in Preston, but I also run a blog. And the newspaper video Will Die in 2008 was the title of one of my blog posts in the new year. It was one of my new year predictions. And you know when you write something and you think, well, that sounds quite cool, and then suddenly you end up in a room in Brussels with all of these people looking at you. Just to kind of disavow myself slightly of the ivory tower academic view, because I certainly don't fall into that category, my professional background is in broadcast. I'm an avid editor. I cut on Final Cut Pro. I've directed, I've shot, I've edited documentaries for the majority of UK national broadcasters and international broadcasters, including Discovery. So I'm not entirely ivory tower academic in that view.
And I am Chuck Fadley. I produce video at the Miami Herald. I was a still shooter at the Miami Herald for 20-some years before I switched over to doing video. That's not why I'm here. I run an email group for newspaper videographers, newspaper video at yahoogroups.com, and I have 700 or so practitioners of newspaper video in this group, and I'm very familiar with the issues that newspapers are facing mostly across the United States but also across the world from that group. So between us, we have, I think, a unique perspective in the training issues and the implementation issues of doing video at newspapers. I've lost my notes. But I am going to show you first what Andy has done here as kind of commentary on the way newspapers are doing video these days. So that's one strategy that newspapers are using, and here's the other.
Job.
And those two little cartoons sum up what newspapers are doing pretty well. So we're going to try to find the middle ground between those here and figure out how to make things work. Andy mentioned that the title of this seminar came out of a blog posting he did. He said that newspaper video will die this year unless it's targeted. There's a lot of talk already about 2008 being the year of online video. But rather than being a year zero, I think that without proper thought, it could be the first and last chance video has to prove itself. So this year, editorial newspaper video may die in many publications because no one will give it the chance to develop. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think what I was thinking of was that there seems to be this propensity in the newspaper industry in particular that's engaging with digital and online, and I'm seeing it more in the broadcast side of things because I'm still of the opinion that broadcast is starting to engage in online in the way that newspapers engaged with online 10 years ago. You're seeing it as a shovelware opportunity. Basically unplug your wire from the back of your transmitter tower, plug it into the computer, and then stream it online. And that's shovelware. And the newspaper industry managed to get themselves out of that loop a long time ago. I think broadcasters are doing that. What's driving some of that is this idea that now that the technology has kind of embedded itself, we're not early adopters anymore. We can just buy this technology and we're away. Unfortunately, everybody's an early adopter with the web because it resets itself every 6 months. So there are a lot of newspaper organizations that looked at video and they thought, well, we won't do that for a year or so. We'll wait and see what happens. And then when everybody else has proved there's a model for it and people are starting to make money off it, then we'll buy into that. You know, and we might have to throw a little bit more money at it, but hey, you know, it's not like we're rolling in the stuff. So we'll just wait and see. And we've waited, and we've waited, and we've waited, and nobody's making money from it, and there isn't a model for it, but everybody wants it. And I got in trouble. I was accused of producing a mountainous pile of tentengious crap when I said that I had this idea that there was a cabal of newspaper editors who have this fantastic, you know, lunch group. It's kind of like this evil collective. And somebody said, we're going to have video on our website. And one of the other editors said, yes, so are we. And then had to run out of the room and went, we need video on our website. I've just said we've got it. But I think that's how it's working. So what's happening now is everybody's waking up to the fact that they need it and they're going to engage with it, they're going to throw money at it, and they're going to do it really badly, and it's going to fail. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's why I think this year will be the year that newspaper editorial video will die in some newspapers, because it won't be done properly. It will be done as a reactive thing rather than an evolutionary thing. And we've heard that phrase, it's not revolution, it's evolution. That was where I was coming from with that.
And I just want to make the point that in the United States, at least, the two largest newspaper chains are taking the approach of buying gear and handing it to their staffers and telling them, go forth and produce. And so you're looking at thousands of staffers across the country without a clue being told to produce this stuff. And it's very difficult to do. And if you take that approach, you will fail. Should we talk about training aspects some?
No, I'm always happy. I mean, I agree that if you just take the cameras and put it in people's hands and give them 3 hours of instruction, you will create an unworkable disaster. There's certainly a long history of that. Our own experience with this in terms of training publications to create video is that if you take the time and you really examine the organization and see what it is they want, and you carefully assess the staff and you regulate who you give it to, and then you put them through very rigorous training, and you make a decision about where it's going to go, and there's a whole plan, it tends to work. But few and far between are the publications that do that. Yesterday you heard from McGraw-Hill, they're one of our clients, and we are converting Business Week, Aviation Week, all of their publications to video. We have about a 4-year plan to do this. So it's being done in a very slow and rigorous way. We just signed a deal yesterday with some of the newspapers from Advance, which is Condé Nast in the United States, and we're entering it in the same sort of very slow, steady way. One thing I think that's interesting that we're beginning to grapple with, and it is just the very beginning, is that video on television is obviously one animal, and we all understand what that is, and text in printed newspapers is one animal, but increasingly I'm coming to believe that as we go to the web, there's a whole new grammar that develops because of what the web can do. After all, the beginning is, if you look at New York Times and stuff like that, it is the newspaper, and then you go below the fold, and there are always those four boxes with the videos, which most people actually don't bother to look at, because the experience of watching video is so different from the experience of reading a newspaper. So one of the things we've experimented with is giving the print reporters video cameras and teaching them to use the video camera as a notebook. In other words, they go out the way a print journalist used to go with a tape recorder, and now they go with a video camera, and they sort of record the story that they're going to write about. Then they come back, because it's non-linear, it's created kind of a hybrid of iMovie and Word, and they can scrub through the video notes as they go. They can sit and write the story in text, and every time a piece of video tells the story better than the text, they can put hooks in the video and pull it down. So what we create in a way is this kind of tapestry of video and text and stills all melded together. We're at the very early days of this thing, but increasingly I'm starting to think that that is the answer. And I tend to agree with you, this idea of throwing cameras, it's going to result in a big crash.
All right. And that approach to doing a video requires quite a bit of thought on the back end processes. You need a CMS that lets you embed video in the text of the story. Very few newspapers in the States have that. I don't know about Europe. But to be able to embed a short video clip within the text, instead of having a separate player pop up or to have a Brightcove player load or something, is key to making video work on a newspaper site without having to turn your operation into a television news station. If a reporter can go out with a point and shoot and grab 10 seconds of somebody saying something dramatic and have it embedded within the story so it's an organic part of the story and not a separate standalone video all by itself, it's worthwhile. But if that's in a separate player somewhere, it makes no sense whatsoever.
But I think, Chuck, the answer is that if you want to do this, you should do it properly. And do it properly is expensive.
Exactly.
This is not a cheap fix. Between the equipment and the re-architecting of the software, and also re-architecting the newsroom works in a very different way. You have to make an enormous commitment to have this thing actually work properly. But we think that where it does, it works quite well.
I think what's interesting with that, though, and I'm in the surprising position of finding myself nodding and agreeing with everything Michael says, which is no, it's good because it makes absolutely perfect sense. I think the thing that's often forgotten, or that's interesting, is that you can throw, and sometimes you have to throw, and increasingly because you might be later to the game, you will find yourself having to throw lots of money at this to make it stick. There's an expectation, and that, you know, some nice hits by the end of the week, please, kind of expectation that builds up. And yes, as senior management and as the people who are responsible for structures within newsrooms and that kind of thing, you can affect some level of change with that. But there's one thing that you cannot change and that you cannot develop by software and sometimes by training alone. And that's the culture that's embedded with your newsroom in the newsroom with the journalists. You know, as part of what I do as an academic, we've been involved with some UK newspaper groups. Johnston Press and Trinity Mirror and one or two others. And I think I'm on about my 360th Johnston Press journalist coming through my two-day video training course, very specific to Johnston Press and the kit that they've got. And you know, I dearly love longer with them, but it's very specific. And the one thing that I get all the time from them is the lack of investment in them being able to understand why. And I think it's clear that with the right money and the right technology, whether you take a point-and-shoot strategy with this, so you give them the kind of little Cybershot cameras that will do video, that's fine. If you can afford to give them bigger camcorders or split your teams that way, so you've got all of your journalists with small cameras and some with the larger cameras to do that kind of maybe value-added stuff, absolutely brilliant. You know, the kind of mixed form of delivery. I think they've all got the pros and cons. It's about how they work within that system. The thing that will make that work is when the journalist identifies with that. And it's very, very telling that you've got newsrooms that are full of people that know nothing about the web because they don't experience it every day. And they'll get video. They'll understand how it works if they understand the web. So when a large percentage of newsrooms have limited access to the web, a large percentage of newsrooms have very poor IT infrastructure, so that people just know how the web works. Forget about uploading video and downloading video. It's just a huge reality gap in that. So for all the technology and all the money in the world, a hearts and minds battle is the most important investment that you can make from a senior point of view, giving your journalists space to get their head around it. You know, I have journalists who come in, and their benchmark for good quality video is TV news. And, you know, a lot of people have said today and today and yesterday, online newspaper video or online video is not TV news. It's something different. I haven't heard anybody tell me what that is yet, and I'd be interested if anybody's got an opinion on that. But we've been very clear that it's not TV news. Unfortunately, that's what your journalists are benchmarking. Why? Because professional journalists in television news do TV news. Professional journalists in newspaper want to do the professional equivalent. They benchmark themselves against that kind of thing. So you can give them cheap cameras, you can give them expensive cameras. But if you won't educate them to something different, they'll just go with what they know, which is why my last comment there was, what are we losing as executives putting money in? We're not losing anything, you're just losing your professional pride in that. And we should, that you can't underestimate that in this thing.
And I have to emphasize that telling stories in video is a vastly different skill set than your existing reporters and photographers are used to doing. As a still shooter for many decades, it's taken me several years to learn how to tell a story in video. It is not easy. To create a narrative that's compelling and informative takes a lot of work. And your reporters are going to want to come in and have a videographer do a stand-up with them, and it's going to be boring and nobody's going to watch it. You need to establish an atmosphere where you let people who have figured it out do it and drive the bus, because when you have editors calling to the back and saying, I need a videographer to go do this story and that story, you're going to produce a lot of boring stuff that people aren't going to watch.
No, I agree. I think this notion of if you work for an excellent print organization that you should expect the video to be of the same quality is really rather critical. One place that I think has done this very well on a very different model is The Guardian. Can we pull up guardian.co.uk? I don't know if you've seen much of the work that comes out of The Guardian. What The Guardian has done is they've begun appending and videographers with their reporters, and they go out and they produce a self-contained video piece. And I particularly want to draw your attention to pieces by Gary Young, who's the U.S. correspondent. He's been following the elections. And this is a very different model, but to come back to Andy's...
Nope, sorry.
That's okay. Do we have to pay again?
Probably.
Okay.
It doesn't like me. Well, let me do it in the room, but not here.
So I haven't used that yet.
Oh, okay.
What the Guardian has done is that they began training their photographers, and then hiring people to be specifically videographers. They put them through very rigorous sort of performance training, and they created video, which is close to television. I mean, it really is the grammar of television, as opposed to this thing I was talking about before. And they've made a commitment to make these video things. Whether they make any money, of course, they have a foundation, so they don't have to make money.
No.
But I think as far as video and newspapers, they're about the best that I've seen. And in this particular series with Gary Young, he's the American correspondent. He's been following the elections. And they have a videographer that follows him around and cuts quite good video pieces. So,
yeah, I think that the Guardian and Telegraph as well, and the Financial Times, are an interesting take for us in the UK, because, you know, the Guardian has, along with the Telegraph, has an avowed view that it will have a political voice. It will have it will have an opinion. It will have a position, which is something unusual for a broadcaster. You know, somebody who produces video, because obviously the BBC is not allowed to have a position. It's supposed to be independent, and television has lots of rules and regulations that govern it. But people like The Guardian and The Telegraph are saying, no, we will have a left-to-centre view, we will have a right-to-centre view. So just in all kinds of way, reinforcing brand, video really works. What's nice about a lot of The Guardian website stuff is that it's a real mixture of still images and video as well, and it's lots of powerful stories. But I think, you know, if we're looking for a strategy, this is recent on The Guardian. You know, the video on The Guardian was fairly limited up until last year. What wasn't limited was things like slideshows. and things like multimedia presentations and stuff like that. And all of that is not a journey towards video. Video is not the top of the tree in this. It's adding to that that extra visual grammar that the online thing allows you to have. So if you were looking at exploring this stuff, if video isn't this part of what you do already, I think for me, I would also recommend The Guardian's slideshows and multimedia presentations as a good example of how that visual literacy can be slowly fed in into a news organisation that maybe didn't have a tradition of it to start with.
I think they're doing both.
Yeah.
Can we roll? No, they are not converting the journalist. Photographers, and they are taking people and making them into videographers. One of the guys who worked for me just signed a deal with the LA Times to do exactly the same thing there, and they're going to spend 2 years building out the VJ core before they let any of them go on.
Before I complete, you know, do the Guardian a disservice by saying they had no video, they had Guardian Films, which was an offshoot of the media group that was producing content for Channel 4.
In the middle column, if you go down in the middle, you'll see the video. There,
latest multimedia?
Yeah, but I don't see the piece that we'll have to probably search because it's back.
At the very top was a video.
Was there? You know what, just plug in the search thing, I guess.
Is it the video in the Democratic Challengers book?
No, it's not. Read, this was like last month, so we'll have to do it from now.
What are we looking for?
I want to think it's on the list. Why don't you plug in Gary Young and elections? Y-O-U-N-G-E.
Just while we're doing, you know, the academic in me wants to do a little bit of research in the room. How many are you in terms of representing the organisations are looking at video as a as part of the strategy this year?
You know, plug in Gary Young and Mitt Romney. Okay.
And how many people have kind of already think they've done it and are rolling it out in
3 years?
3 years. And would you say that's, would you peg that a success, your 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. What will be the one thing you think you've learned that you would, you know, if you had a takeaway motto from it for the people who are doing it this year, what do you think? So I did a survey of, and it was completely unscientific, it would never hold water academically, that worked out that on the results that I was getting back, for every 1 minute of video,